Blog Talk Radio.
Yo, 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 it's Lean Keys, Real Talk, back with another episode. I hope everybody's having a good day. You know, past couple weeks. My bad, we haven't been as active, but, you know, I've been nose into the grind, you know, and but we're here now, so it's all good. And we're going to get right into it because we got a lot of things to cover tonight. So I'm going to throw it over to you, Lee. What's going on? What's up, baby?
Yo, what's going on, everybody? How everybody doing today? UFC 230 tonight coming live from Madison Square Garden. You know, normally I start the show with a shout-out. I'm going to give a shout-out to all the fighters that's fighting tonight. You know, hopefully God look over and keep them safe and that we have some good competition tonight. So shout-out to all the combatants that's going to be fighting the UFC 230 tonight.
Yeah, this is about to be a good one. I mean, it would have been nice if, you know, we could have had my boy on the card, if we could have had T-Wood fight Colby Covington. You know, that would have been nice to have that, but, you know, we'll get it in the future. And, yeah, so, you know, just looking on what's on the plate right now, you know, there's still a lot of good scraps on this card. Even the prelims got some good scraps on the prelims, too. So which fight are you looking forward to the most?
Oh, man. Actually, man, I think it's the fight that me and you both looking forward to. Darren Brunson and Israel Adesanya, man.
Yeah.
I'm definitely
looking forward
to that fight, man.
I think
that fight is
going to
have
too.
A lot of trash talk. There's going to have a lot of trash talk going on during the fight, man. There's been a lot of trash talk leading up to the fight. But, yeah, I'm looking forward to that fight. But I think my underrated fight that I want to see is Julio Arce versus Shamar Moraes at 145. I want to see these two guys, man. I want to see I never really heard of either one of them, but the way, you know, Joe Rogan was talking about it, you know, Joe Rogan and the broadcast team that was doing the weigh-in show, when they was talking about it, said it should be a good fight. So I'm looking forward to that fight, too, but I'm definitely looking forward to Israel versus Derek. I think that's going to... So me and you both are fans of Israel Adesanya, but Derek Brunson ain't no cupcake either, so should be a hell of a fight, man.
You know, it's well, that one's a 3-round fight. I mean, I guess when I keep thinking of it, I keep thinking of it like it's a main event style, and we're gonna see them for 5 rounds. But really, it's only 3 rounds. And Derek Brunson likes to catch guys, you know, within the first, you know, 2 rounds. He could catch Adesanya coming in, but then the reverse goes for Brunson too. He could get caught coming in. So, and I feel like with all the aggression, you know, both them guys, you know, for the most part, stand up fighters. You don't really see too much. I mean, Adesanya coming from Glory Fighting Championship, that's only kickboxing. There is no ground. You know, that's only, you know, throwing hands and throwing kicks. There is no ground fighting and kickboxing. And Brunson likes to stand and bang too. That's mainly what his style has been that we've seen from him. So, and he's you know, he's known to finish guys. So, I mean, I think it's a dangerous fight for both them dudes. And, you know, like you said, with all the talk leading up to it, I think it's built up a lot of aggression in both the fighters and probably a little bit of confidence on both sides. Debatably, even a bit of overconfidence in both them guys. You know, thinking that they can get the other one, you know, get each other out of there very quickly. So we might see both them guys just come forward, right? And that might only be like that fight might not go past the second round. Like if that went to decision, I would really be surprised because I feel like both them guys just want to take each other's head off at this point.
Yeah, I think Adesanya, he's going to need to use his reach advantage. And Brunson is going to have to close the distance of fighting close quarters. So I think whoever can take advantage of the advantage that they have for Brunson being powerful and Adesanya and the reach advantage, I think that'll be the person that probably win the fight. I'm thinking that'll probably go to a decision unless somebody get caught. So, but, yeah, I think it's going to go decision, man. I don't think nobody's going to get knocked out. And I think if somebody do get knocked out, it'll be Brunson knocking out Adesanya because Brunson is known to catch people and finish him once he catch him. So, and we haven't really seen Adesanya knock anybody out. We've seen him be dynamic and very friendly as far as his fights, because most of his fights he has a lot of action in them. So I'm looking forward to that, man.
Yeah, I think Adesanya has definitely got the length on his, you know, he's definitely got, I mean, I think he has a 74 or 75-inch reach. So, I mean, he can easily, you know, create a distance between him and Brunson. I think Derek Brunson might go in there, you know, fighting off emotion a little bit. And he might try to, you know, keep walking Israel down. But that, you know, that could be his downfall at the same time, because, I mean, it really, we're just going to have to see. I mean, I think we can revisit that one in a little while, because I had something else that I wanted to pitch to you real quick. And I couldn't wait to ask you this. So how about this? I'm watching the press conference yesterday, and I didn't watch the entire thing, but I did watch a good chunk of it. And, you know, good, like, three-fourths of it anyways. I think I missed, like, the last 10 minutes or so. But I definitely saw a lot of the juice, you know, a lot of the juicy parts. No homo. And, John Jones, your boy, man. How you feel about that? John Jones was talking that stuff on the mic. You know, Alexander Gustafson was talking that stuff on the mic. You know, Gustafson was saying that he never lost their first fight. You know, saying that he got robbed of a decision in their first fight. And then Jones come back and said, well, Alex, what happened when you fought DC? Did you win? Did you win against DC? And then he said, what happened with you versus Anthony Johnson? Did you beat Anthony Johnson? And then he said, what happened with you and I think he said Phil Davis? Did you beat Phil? What happened? You beat Phil Davis? So basically, and then Jones said to him, he said, Gustafson said, well, but I'm going to beat you, though. Gustafson said, I'm going to beat you, though. It don't matter, as long as I beat you, though. And Jones said, well, see, I was just – Jones said this. He said, I was just trying to give you a psychological evaluation. Man, your boy was talking that stuff on that stage. He came ready with ammo for Gustafson, man. He was definitely thinking about that one, because – he came back with a lot of rebuttals. He came back with a lot of rebuttals to the stuff Gustin was saying. And when he hit him with that, I'm trying to give you a psychological evaluation. That really had me cracking up right there. That really got me going. It got me like, I think that exchange itself got me a lot more going. Just that press conference overall got me thinking a lot more about that fight and about that card. Because, I mean, that's a very top heavy card. The champion versus champion. And then co-main, and then having your boy John Jones come back to fight Gustafson. So, yeah, that it was definitely that presser really showed me where John Jones' head is at. I mean, he also addressed a couple other things. The media asked him, you know, about Cormier, and they said, you know, how do you feel about Cormier saying that if he loses this weekend, if he loses to Derek Lewis this weekend, that he's still the light heavyweight champion, and that he would be fighting the winner of this fight, or that whatever, the winner of that fight, almost hinting that they're just an interim champ, and that Cormier, if he loses to Derek Lewis, then he still has the 205 belt. And John Jones said, well, as far as I'm concerned, that I've been the light heavyweight champ since, you know, 2011, 2012, Cormier is not the real champion. Last time we fought, he got knocked out. So he said that when I beat Gustafson, he didn't say if, he said when I beat Gustafson, I will not give Cormier a shot because he doesn't deserve a shot. And this was the part that really spoke to me. He said Cormier is going to have to fight a contender before he can get a shot at me again. How do you feel about Jones saying that? What do you think about that?
Well, I think this played into me and your wheelhouse, because we definitely have, even though we respect DC's skills and him as a fighter, we definitely don't respect the way he has just locked down the 205 division by not fighting. So, you know, I agree with John. I mean, hey, if DC wouldn't fight Gustafson, why should John fight DC? You know, if he win the belt, he should fight somebody else. What's good for the goose is good for the gander. I think one of the things that everybody has to realize is DC has turned down more fights than he's taken since he's been the light heavyweight champ. He took the Ozdemir fight. He took I can't remember the other fight he took. But he took another fight. He took the Gustafson fight back in the day. But at the same time, it's like he really hasn't done anything. He hasn't been a fighting champ, unlike John Jones. Well, he was a champ. He fought everybody. John fought Lyoto Machida. He fought Vitor Belfort. He fought. My man Rashad Evans. He fought Rampage Jackson. He fought Chael Sonnen. You go down the list, he down there fought everybody in that division that was in the top 10. So, you know, on DC, you know, and then he keeps saying that if he wins this fight, it's going to submit him as the greatest of all time. Come on, bro. He can't fool us, man. He can't pull the wool over our eyes, dog. We know better than that.
That's ridiculous.
but I want to get back to the press conference real quick. You know, I really like the way John presented himself up there. I like the confidence that he had. I think for those press conferences, you have to build a fight up, and that was a good build up to the fight. A lot of people do think Gustafson won that first fight. I'm not one of them. I think Gustafson won the second and third round. I think John won the first, fourth, and fifth. I think Gustafson, he let his foot off the gas in the fifth round, and that cost him the fight, just like he did against DC when he fought DC. You know, I think he won the second, third. I think DC won the first and the fourth, and then DC ended up pulling off the fifth because Gustafson didn't do nothing in the fifth round. So, I kind of even like the ladies' press conference. I thought Cyborg, you know, came out and, you know, I barely understand what she was saying, but, you know, I got the gist of it. She said Amanda likes to come out and put pressure on fighters, and most fighters can't stand up to her pressure. And then she came out and said, "But I am the pressure." I was like, "Oh, shit, that's kind of dope."
I was thinking the same thing.
Yeah, I was like, all right, here we go. But, you know, man, when they did the face-off, Cyborg, you know, she's a big girl, you know. She was muscular and shit, but at the same time, she wasn't that much taller than Nguyen. So, you know, if their height thing ain't going to be a disadvantage for Nguyen. I think Nguyen is going to have to – Nunez might have to take her down. I don't think she want to stand and bang with her because I don't think Nunez can eat them punches. So, especially with her being a smaller woman. So, we'll see what happens, though. But I did like the press conference. But did you see the thing on when they asked Dana White about the John Jones DC trilogy? And he says that it has to happen. And the reason that it has to happen is DC is undefeated at heavyweight, and for John Jones to really submit himself as the GOAT, he should move up to heavyweight and fight DC. And if he beat DC at heavyweight, which DC has never lost as a heavyweight, that would definitely put an end to the rivalry. I was like, well, DC, I don't really agree with that, but that would be a nightmare for Daniel Cormier to go out like that. But, you know, man, it was just food for thought. What you think about if John Jones was to challenge DC at heavyweight, how you think that'll work play out?
Yeah, that's kind of bogus to me because really what it seems like they're trying to do is they're trying to bait John Jones into a trap so that he would be at the disadvantage because, you know, they just seen how DC has a lot more power at heavyweight, and I'm not trying to insinuate that John can't beat him at heavyweight. I think he absolutely can. It's just that if he didn't, though, that would be, and say he were to go up and lose to Cormier at heavyweight, everybody would, you know, try to switch the narrative and make it seem, you know what I'm saying? Like, they would try to turn it on Jones and make it like, wow, but you couldn't beat him at heavyweight, so you couldn't really beat him. But really, it's like, Jones was a light heavyweight, was a true light heavyweight. He was not a true heavyweight. Cormier, it's debatable, but really, Cormier was a heavyweight in the first place, and then he went back to heavyweight. Jones was never a heavyweight, so in reality, he doesn't have to beat Cormier at heavyweight. There's really no reason to. Cormier was fighting at 205, you know, for quite a long time, and he fought Jones twice. He lost twice. Yeah, he lost twice, and that no contest. Everybody knows. Everybody saw the fight. Just because it got overturned to a no contest doesn't mean that Jones only beat him once. He beat him twice. So you can't make it seem like that going to heavyweight is like the same as having a trilogy. It ain't no damn trilogy if you lost twice. I was saying the other time, Baja, I don't really like trilogy fights anyways. And I really don't like it if you're having a third fight when one guy has been dominating the earlier fights. So why is there a trilogy fight? You're down 2-0. So why do you even get a third fight? I agree. John Jones should just be turning his head and saying, you know what, I don't give a damn about fighting Cormier again. I don't have nothing to prove. I already beat the guy twice. It really doesn't matter to me. He can go fight a whole bunch of other guys and cement his legacy. He never lost. He doesn't need to go up to heavyweight where he's not a true heavyweight. Why does he need to put himself on the line like that? It's kind of a similar scenario to Demetrius Johnson. Like a lot of the Demetrius Johnson's core fans, you know, that I talk with, you know, and were saying to me, why does Demetrius Johnson have to go up and move up to, the next division? And yeah, why does he have to move up to the next division and fight a bigger guy in TJ Dillashaw or, you know, a bigger guy in Dominic Cruz or Cody Garbrandt when he already dominated his division? And he's already undefeated in his division. Why does he need to beat a guy in another division to prove that prove his legacy when he already dominated his division? That's pretty much the same narrative as John Jones in this scenario. If he already dominated 205 for like 6 years and nobody's ever beat him, why does he need to move up to the heavyweight and put on like, you know, a solid 30 pounds or whatever and go fight a bigger guy and be at a disadvantage? He's not a true heavyweight, so why would he do that? It doesn't make any sense. It's you're putting him at a risk, and then if he did go up there and lose, then everyone's just going to shit on him and say, wow, like, you know, it ain't this and it ain't that. Man, go take that thing for a walk, man. Get that talk out of here. It sounds ridiculous. And I'm not even that big of a John Jones fan. I see what y'all doing. I see what you're doing. You ain't slick. I see what you're doing, Dana White. You're not slick. I see what you're doing, Cormier. You're not slick out here. I see what you're doing. You played yourself because you already lost twice. So, and Dana White, you can't market a third fight. He doesn't need to move up to heavyweight. John Jones should say, look, I'm the A side in this scenario. I'm the one that you're trying to beat. People don't need to see me beat you again. They already see me beat you twice. So in the eyes of the fans, I'm the A side. So you can't tell me that the ball is in your court. The ball is in my court. No, yeah, the ball. You know what I mean? Like, whichever way. I think I might have butchered that saying, but yeah, you know what I meant. It's the opposite way around. Y'all trying to flip the script there. It's the opposite way. Y'all the ones that Cormier needs something from Jones. He needs a win off Jones. Jones doesn't need a win off Cormier. He beat him twice, and he dominated everybody else in the game too for 6 years. So why does he need to move up? You know what I'm saying? Just like Demetrius Johnson. I wanted to see him fight Dillashaw just to see it. You know, and I was also saying he needs to fight a bigger guy, but when you look at it in this scenario, it makes me realize he really didn't need to fight a bigger guy. Demetrius Johnson really didn't need to fight Dillashaw to cement his legacy. You know, maybe a lot of us just, you know, down deep inside, we just wanted to see him fight Dillashaw and we wanted to see him prove himself. But he didn't need to fight him to prove himself. He already proved damn near everything. He cleared out his whole division. Really, he didn't need to do anything. You know, so it made sense that he move over to one championship and go dominate the division over there too. He doesn't need to move up and fight a bigger guy at one championship. He already had the most title defenses ever. And John Jones defend his belt a lot of times too. He beat all the legends, all the top guys. You know, he's already saying that after he fight Gustafson, he'll go ahead and fight Anthony Smith. And people are already hyping Anthony Smith, saying that, you know, Anthony Smith saying that, you know, Volkan is a harder fight than John Jones. I'm a fan of you, Anthony.
Yeah.
Smith. I think you got to go sit down somewhere. You're gonna go
yeah.
sit down.
And actually,
Smith.
John said the same thing. He said the same thing. Actually, when he said it, I was thinking about you. He was like, you know, I saw the Anthony Smith and Uzumiye fight, you know, and you know, I saw Uzumiye take him down and out wrestle him, la 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 la. And Uzumiye really isn't a wrestler, so you know, I really don't know what he could do with me. And then John was like, well, you know, since he's been talking, you know, when I win the belt, you know, he'll be my first title defense. And I was like, damn, Key said the same thing. Key said that Anthony Smith need to fight a couple more fights before he get a title shot. And John said the same thing. I was like, all right, you know. But, you know, man, the UFC, they like to, you know, sometimes I think the UFC get in their own way, though. So you remember when Yair Rodriguez was like the hot thing at 145, I think it was. And then, And then they put him in a fight against Frankie Edgar, and Frankie totally destroyed him. And then it was like, maybe Yair ain't as good as everybody think he is, because the way of Frankie dominated him. But at the same time, Frankie is a grade A fighter. So I think Anthony Smith, I think they're going to give him a title shot, and whether or not he deserves a title shot is a whole different story. I say no. I say maybe he needs one more fight. You know, if DC loses, maybe you have Anthony Smith versus DC, you know, and the winner fights John Jones. But, you know, DC got so much stroke with UFC that we already know that if he loses to Derrick Lewis, they're going to give him the next shot at John Jones or Alexander Gustafson, depending on who wins the fight. And he'll definitely be more willing to fight Gustafson than he would John. So, but let's talk about this, though, bro. The girl, Sarge Eubanks. Now, when she was given a fight against Valentina, I know me and you talked about this, and I was like, I never even heard of this girl. And, you know, she was talking all crazy out the side of her neck about, you know, I can't believe they took my title shot from me, boom, boom, boom. And then she misses weight. Go ahead and unload all her keys. Go ahead and unleash, bro. Let it out.
Well, nah, because the thing is this. Look, the thing is this, is that not only did she miss weight the first time, well, I think she was trying to cut weight, and then she ended up getting hospitalized, you know, in the process of trying to cut weight. So, like, you know, probably something happened.
That was
and,
Nico.
You know, we've seen that.
That was Nico.
Nah, man, nah, it wasn't. It wasn't because you had nah, that was after, because the first time, because Nico stepped in for her, because Eubanks was supposed to fight.
Oh, that's right. You're right.
Yeah, because Eubanks was supposed to fight, and then, because Nico, I think, might have lost, and then they switched her out for Montano. Montano fought Mortiferi, and then beat Mortiferi for the flyweight belt. Then Montano got hospitalized trying to cut weight, so then they put I don't know who they put in there, but now they have the fight that was supposed to be the first time for the Ultimate Fighter. You have Eubanks and Mortiferi now, which was the original fight. The first time she missed weight. Now the second time she missed weight again. But the only difference is, you know, thankfully, you know, she didn't have to get hospitalized, because I don't like seeing that happen to fighters in the process of cutting weight. A lot of the cutting weight is, you know, the things they do just to make weight, and then the small amount of time. You know, the amount of weight that they cut in the small amounts of time too quick, and it's too much weight to lose, and the body just doesn't react well to it. You know, that your organs shut down and all this crazy. I don't like seeing that happen to any fighter, so I'm glad that didn't happen to her this time. But I don't like her attitude in the way that she's reacting to it. Like, you know, she go ahead and miss weight the last fight, then go ahead and miss weight again this fight after complaining that they took her out the main event spot. And then she put the damn tweet out with the emoji with the dude shrugging his shoulders. Like, oh, well, like, I missed weight. Bruh, you should be apologizing to the fans. you have an advantage in this, and you were the one complaining that you weren't getting the main event spot just for you to go and miss weight and then laugh it off like it's not a big deal. You're not a professional. You're an amateur. Amateurs miss weight.
Exactly.
You know, people that don't take themselves seriously miss weight. You know what I mean? And you see, Yoel Romero misses weight. But you know what, though? Yoel Romero is also 40 years old. You know how many fights Romero has over you? He's been in the game a long time making weight. You know, now he's having problems missing weight. You know, his last three fights or so, he's been having problems making weight. He's also, the man's 40 years of age. He's a veteran. He's been putting his time, you know, making weight and putting on good fights. Romero is one of the best guys in the world. Probably, you know, top five middleweights in the world. You know, there's not many people that could beat him. He already proved himself. So it is what it is. You know, he still needs to fix his, you know, problems missing weight. But you're only like three. I think she's only like have five fights. I think she's like, I thought her record was 3-2 or 2-3. You know, it's something like that. And then first of all, you complain wanting to be the main event. We don't even know who you are. And then after the fact, we still don't know who you are. And then after you miss weight, now you complain. Now you laugh. You know, basically put the damn emoji shrugging your shoulders with a tweet out. The tweet out where you're shrugging your shoulders. Like it doesn't matter. You should apologize to the fans. You're not going to gain fans by laughing it off by missing weight. You're not going to gain fans by laughing off missing weight. I hope she, you know, I hope she loses this fight, you know, just off the strength of that. I'm not going to say in what fashion, but I hope she loses this fight. Because, you know, I'm rooting for, you know, I actually have Mataferi in my DraftKings lineup. And the reason why I picked Mataferi is for that reason. I just hope she gets her out of there. And I don't care which way. I just hope that she loses the fight. Because of that arrogance and having no consideration for the fans, after you think saying to people, oh, how come you don't know me? I'm going to make you know me and all this stuff. Yeah, man, that gets no respect from me. She's just arrogant.
Yeah, it was like, you know, first of all, when they tried to get her to fight against Valentina, you know, I was like, man, who is this person? I never even heard of her. And then you come out and you miss weight, and then it's not a big deal to you. It's like, come on, man. You trying to make a name for yourself. And one thing I'm not a Bisping fan, but when it comes to his commentary, you know, I really do like his commentary. I think I like him. I like Chael Sonnen a lot. You know, I love Chael Sonnen. You know, but one thing Michael Bisping always says is your main job as a fighter is to make weight. That's your main job. You know, he said, once you make weight, everything else takes care of itself. She can't even make weight, bro. This is like the second or third time in a row that she's been unable to make weight. I'm going to say it all right now on the record that if she loses tonight, the UFC cuts her. I think the UFC cuts her if she loses tonight. The only way she stays on the main roster is if she wins tonight. You can't keep missing weight. I mean, Yoel Romero, it's a different story because, you know, man, Yoel is a vet, man. He's an old guy. He's in his 40s and stuff, but at the same time, you know, you do have to be professional and make weight. But the UFC told him, look, man, look, your last two fights, you ain't been able to make weight. You would have to go up to 205. And, you know, Yoel said, okay, you know, he said he will fight a couple fights at 205 to see how his body felt and if he felt like that wasn't good for him. As long as he did good in the 205 fights, UFC said they'll let him go back down to 185. So young fighters out there who are trying to establish yourself in the UFC, Bellator, you know, and Vitka, ONE Championship, whatever organization you're trying to be in, your main priority should be a professional. And being a professional includes making weight for all your fights. Sometimes illnesses and injuries may prevent a fighter from making weight. If that's the case, you let the UFC or your organization know in advance, hey, you know, I suffered an injury. you know, still trying to fight on this card, but, you know, I might not be able to make weight. You know, can we get my opponents who are not, we can fight at a catch weight. You know, sometimes the organization will work that out with the other fighter, you know, so that they can keep that fight on the card. So, man, but being unprofessional, then the way her nonchalant attitude was, I was definitely not a fan. I was actually leaning towards her to win the fight, but just because of her attitude, I want Mona Ferry to win, and I want Mona Ferry to win in spectacular fashion, by knockout or choke.
Yeah, you know, I was wanting to say that, but I was trying to hold myself back. But yeah, I won't be mad at her losing the fight in any sort of fashion. And if she were to lose and then go ahead and get cut from the UFC, that would be totally fine with me too. I just think that she has a bad attitude. She has a chip on her shoulder about, you know, people not knowing her, when you should understand why you're unknown. You're a new fighter. You barely even grasp the surface in the organization, and you're complaining that people are saying they don't know you. Of course, you have to take the good with the bad. You're a rookie on the block. You gotta act accordingly. People are going to say things. You have to not care. Stop going on Twitter. Go hit the gym. Go figure out your damn weight cut. Get your business in order. Damn. All the fighters, get your damn business in order. This is your business. That's your brand. Go get off Twitter. Stop tweeting. All right. Stop doing interviews and go make weight. That's what it comes down to. Go get your nutritionist on check. Get them on speed dial. You know what I'm saying? Get your dietary, you know, supplements and everything you got to do. Don't take the wrong thing and get pulled out of the fight by USADA, and get your business together. And that's the end of that topic. I'm done. We both hope you lose the fight, because it's just despicable. So anyways, we're going to move forward from that topic. So let's just look at the card, and we're going to start making some picks. We're going to start making some picks right now. I'm about to pull up the fights. Also, by the way, I just want to make a quick report to everybody listening on the show and to Lee, because I don't know if you've seen this yet, but I just read a report as we speak. Brian Kelleher.
Yeah, he's off the card.
He fell out of the fight, and that fight has been scratched. Yeah, he won't be replaced against Montel Jackson, UFC debut Montel Jackson, and that fight is completely scratched from the card. You know, I'm kind of disappointed with that. I mean, I guess it's good and bad. It's good for Brian Kelleher because, if I'm not mistaken, I've seen him get finished in like a handful of his last couple fights. Pretty sure it was him I've seen get finished, you know, in a handful of fights, and, you know, his last three or four fights. So it's good for him to not have to deal with that. Montel Jackson's a dangerous guy, even though it's his UFC debut. If I had a pick, I would have picked him in that fight. I watched his highlights from his old fight organization, and the boy got some skills. So, you know, the bad part of it is I'm sad that I won't get to see Montel Jackson's UFC debut, because, you know, the boy got skills, and I was looking forward to watching him, but now we won't. So just for everybody, Brian Kelleher versus Montel Jackson from the prelims card is completely scratched from the card, and you won't see either one of them guys fighting tonight. But moving forward from that, let's look at the fights. So on the main card, you want to – I don't know. I'll look at the prelims, but I'll give a prediction for the ones that I'm, you know, more aware of. For the fights that I'm not as educated on, I'm not going to make a random guess. But, let's look at the prelims.
We can just go
quick
with the main card. We can go with the main card. We ain't got to go with the prelims, because basically – you know, like I said, on the prelims, there's only probably two fights out there that I probably want to see. And that's probably Ben Saunders versus Good and Arce versus Morais. And basically, I don't even know those guys. I mean, I heard of Ben Saunders, but, you know, I want to see this guy Good, because they kind of hyped him up yesterday on the weigh-in show. And then they hyped up the Shamon Morais fight versus Julio Arce. So I want to see them guys throw down too. But outside of that, I really don't know none of the other fighters that's on the card. So, you know, we can just go with the main card. That's fine.
Yeah, so, I mean, the first one that I just want to say, because All right, so I did a DraftKings lineup tonight, and I have a public contest in DraftKings. You know, look out for the contest. I might name it. I don't have a name for it right now, but look out for it. It's only a $2 buy-in, and I think I have up – you could be – the max is like 15 contestants. So if you want to join my DraftKings contest, go find it and, yeah, join in there. You know, the first and second place win prizes. So first place will probably win like $20 or something like that. Second place probably win 10 or 15, something like that. You know, they'll split it up. But there's a $30 pot between the first and second place winners in a 15-man contest. So that's first of all. Secondly is in my sixth fighter lineup. The main event of the prelims is Jason Knight versus Jordan Rinaldi. And I actually, you know, Jason Knight, they kind of hyped him up a little bit. But he's actually, I think, a little bit of an overhyped fighter. You know, I actually picked his opponent. I picked Rinaldi to... you know, in my lineup to beat Jason Knight. So let's go, Rinaldi. I want to see that. And, yeah, that brings us right into the main card. So let me go back real quick. Okay, so the main card starts off with – oh, okay. So it looks like the main card is going to start off with what's going to be, I think, the fight of the night, Derek Brunson versus Israel Adesanya. This is my sleeper fight of the night, and not only my sleeper fight of the night, but my fight of the night too. Brunson versus Adesanya. This shit should have been the main event. This is going to be a scrap, and I can't wait. Because I do think that Israel Adesanya, like, I was watching some of his highlights from Glory Fighting Championship, you know, kickboxing organization. You know, that's they're another league associated with the UFC, and I was watching some of his fights from that. And, you know, they were kind of boring. You know, it was a little bit boring. A lot of, you know, from the handful of fights I watched from him, he seems like a points fighter. You know, he kind of keeps a little bit of a distance. You know, he doesn't really – I mean, yeah, there's action in his fights, but it's not like, you know, he's always going – I mean, maybe he is going for the finish, but, I mean, he doesn't – the few fights I watched from him, he won all of them. It's not like he's, you know, a hyped fighter. I think he will live up to the name. I think he'll do good. Now, I even have him winning, beating Derek Brunson, but, you know, it could go either way. And I think that he will change his style and he'll be more on the attack, you know, and going for the early finish in the UFC period, you know, in these fights, because you not only are you at Madison Square Garden, like just being in the UFC, you know, you're not fighting you're not fighting backyard boxing anymore. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is the UFC now. Like, you're not fighting. You're not balling overseas, man. You're not balling on the Olympic team no more. You're balling the NBA. So you better put on your best performance, because there's all sorts of eyes watching. Like, this ain't China. You ain't playing in China no more, bro. This ain't that international team. So I think Israel Adesanya will be going for the early finish. You know, I'll probably try and get it done. He's saying he's going to get it done in the first round. I don't know if that'll happen, but, you know, I did say that I don't think this fight goes past the end of the second round, so that would be my prediction for the fight. You know, I think there's a finish either way. Lee said he thinks this fight's going to go to decision. What you think? You think it's going to be a unanimous decision or a split decision?
I think if it goes to a decision, I think Adesanya probably wins the decision. I think if there's a finish, it'll be on the side of Derek Brunson, because if you watch Derek Brunson's fights, when he catches somebody, he goes in to finish. He's not one of those guys that, you know, once he hurt a guy, he'll, you know, try to conserve energy or, you know, play cautious. No, he goes all out once he hurts a guy. So that's why I think if it's a knockout, it'll be Derek Brunson knocking him out, and I think Adesanya wins via unanimous decision. So I'm going with Adesanya, even though I'm a little reluctant, because this is a step up in class for him. So, you know, he had a good outing against Brad Tavares in his last fight, but I don't see Tavares being the same caliber of fighter as Derek Brunson. But I'm going to roll Adesanya. Yeah, I'm going to roll with Adesanya winning by a decision over Derek Brunson.
Okay. The next fight, I really don't know a lot about this one. You have these two guys. I never really heard of neither one of these two guys, so yeah, we might not even bother with that one.
I never heard of Jack Marshman and Carl Roberson. But I know that they were talking smack to each other at the weigh-ins yesterday. So, you know, we'll see what happens. I really don't know nothing about neither one of these guys. So, evidently, they must have skills for them to be on the main card, or they must be up and coming to be on the main card. So, you know, maybe this is a fight we should keep our eye on, and we'll probably talk more about it in the review show next week. So, hey, move on to the next fight, man.
All right, so what do you think about this one? So, I mean, I'll tell you off the top. I picked the next one is David Branch. You know, David Branch fighting Jared Cornier. You know, he was Cannonier?
I think it's Cannonier.
Yeah. Yeah, thank you. Cannonier, David Branch, you know, that's the co main event. It's the co-main event to the co-main event for the main event. So, yeah, David Branch was supposed to fight.
Jacare.
Yeah, this fight they were supposed to have Yoel Romero fight somebody. I forget who he was supposed to fight. He was supposed to fight that dude that looked like he's all juiced up.
David Branch was gonna fight Jacare Souza. And Chris Wildman was supposed to fight Luke Rockhold, but then they put Souza against they put Jacare against Wildman, and then they put David Branch against Cannonier. So
I was referring to
that's what happened.
Yeah, because they had to pull Souza from the Branch fight to fight Wildman, right?
Yeah.
What I was saying is, they had to replace Yoel Romero was supposed to fight. That short guy, I always say he looks like he's probably on PEDS, and they just yet to catch him. Paulo Costa, yeah. Yoel Romero was supposed to fight Paulo Costa. I still think he's going to get busted soon. That dude is way too big, and it just, I don't know. That guy is definitely, I don't believe that he's clean. I really don't. He just, the way his build is too suspect. He's short. And he's huge. I don't know. He's a very stocky fighter. It's weird. Like, his body just almost looks disproportionate. You know, I salute guys being big and getting muscular, but I don't know. That thing looks, you know, that guy looks a little suspect to me. And I guess video actually surfaced the other day of Paulo Costa getting an IV, you know, like a week before his last fight. So, that won't fly in the UFC. So, you know, he might be getting in trouble for that video servicing pretty soon. But, it would have been nice to see you all on the card. But, anyways, I don't really know too much about Cannonier. But David Branch, I picked in my lineup. And, I pick him winning this fight. I think David Branch will finish this fight.
I'm actually going with Cannonier on this one, man. I like David Branch. You know, he came from the World Series of Fighting, I think. I think he was a double belt holder down there. But I like Cannonier for some strange reason. I think because of what I saw from David Branch in his last fight against Rockhold. I'm not saying Cannonier is in the same league as Rockhold. But David Branch came out, he established himself in the first round, and then in the second and third round, it seemed like he gassed out, or it was like he didn't make any adjustments. So with that being said, much as I like David Branch, I'm going with the upset tonight. I'm going with Cannonier to beat David Branch.
Word. Yeah, so we'll just see what happens. You know, in the interest of my DraftKings lineup, because, you know, I'm trying to go with a 6-0 tonight. I'm trying to do a complete sweep, you know, with my DraftKings lineup. You know, for UFC 229, I went 5-1. You know, I was going to pick Khabib on DraftKings, but then, you know, my boy told me to pick McGregor because, you know, getting a lot of points on significant strikes, which, as we could see, didn't happen, and he didn't land too many strikes. So, yeah, I went 5-1 for 229. You know, I'm aiming to go 6-0 for 230. So, in the interest of that, David Branch, let's go. You know, I know you got take you know, Luke Rockhold took you out, but look how many times Luke Rockhold. It's just MMA math. We'll see what happens. But, yeah, Weidman, the next fight is Chris Weidman versus Jacare Souza. This one, I actually picked Jacare, you know, in my lineup. You know, I do actually want to see Weidman win. You know, I'm more of a Weidman fan. I follow Weidman, but I picked Souza. I think Souza probably has the more likelihood to win this fight. I think he's been, you know, just a little bit better. He's been, you know, just enough, you know, in his last few performances to tell me that he'll probably outdo Chris Weidman in this fight. You know, I was thinking about it. Chris Weidman's like 1-3 in his last four fights. So he really hasn't been too impressive, you know, in the past year. So ever since he lost the belt to Rockhold, after that, he just like couldn't get it together. I mean, then again, he was fighting, you know, fierce competition. You know, he fought Jagad Mousasi. He fought Yoel Romero. Like, he fought all, like, the best guys, you know, top five guys in the world. But, I mean, when you're competing at that level, anybody can lose any day. So it could go either way, Weidman or Jacare. But, you know, I'm picking Jacare. You know, what do you think about it?
I know, man, you was talking, basically, after I want to say we was talking via text message. I'm not a fan of Chris Weidman, man. It's just... And I look at his wins over Anderson Silva. You know, the first fight, he caught him. You know, okay, good. The second fight, Anderson broke his leg. You know, who knows how that fight would have turned out. And then what, this third fight, he lost to Rockhold. And basically, he's been, what, in like a tailspin ever since. I like Jacare in this fight. Even though my heart is telling me Weidman because he's fighting in New York, but the last couple of times he's fought in New York, he hasn't done well. So I like Jacare because of his ground game. Even though his chin is kind of suspect, I think his ground game would be good enough for him to get this win if he can get the fight to the mat. You know, Chris Weidman is a good story. You know, everybody likes a good story. But, you know, I'm going with Jacare now. I think Jacare Souza's going to pull it out tonight, and he's going to beat Chris Weidman in New York.
Yeah, so I guess we'll just have to see what happens with that one. You know, who knows? Good luck to both them guys. And, you know, going forward from that, you know, we have the main event of the evening, and that is, you know, Daniel Cormier, or some are saying for some reason the GOAT, Daniel Cormier, fighting Derek Lewis, one of my favorite guys in the UFC. You know, I'm excited.
Oh boy, here
to
we
see
go.
This. I'm excited to see this one. You know, I'm anxious to see how Derek Lewis can do, you know, under only having a couple weeks' notice. I mean, he just got out of a fight, you know, three or so weeks ago with Volkov, you know, knockout victory late in the third round, you know, to finish the fight. Impressive victory. You know, he was losing the fight. You know, he's probably going towards the losing a decision, then he knocked out Volkov in the last round. So, you know, it was an impressive win. And I guess it's not a far shot to say that he could do that in this fight too. I mean, anybody can lose any day. You know, we've seen Stipe get cracked by Cormier, and I didn't expect that, even though I still think Stipe will get him back in the next fight, but that's neither here nor there. But I just think the same thing can happen, you know.
A messed up hand, but his hand was not messed up enough. His hand was messed up enough that he wouldn't fight Stipe, but he would fight Derek Lewis. I don't understand that. So we'll see what happens. it should be a good fight. We'll see. Hello, Keith, you there?
Yeah, I'm good.
You there? Hey, calm down, calm down. Yeah.
Yeah,
so,
I'm good. You can hear me? I'm right there.
So tonight, my pick is I'm gonna go with Daniel Cormier, even though I really want to pick Derrick Lewis. You know what? I'm going with Derrick Lewis. I'm not picking DC. I'm picking Derrick Lewis in an upset. I think Derrick Lewis can catch him. If he catches him, it's lights out. And if he doesn't catch him, you know, then we'll see DC hump him all night like Khabib did Conor. But it might not go that far because we definitely don't know about Derrick Lewis's cardio. His cardio has definitely been in question here lately, especially after his last fight. So, yeah, I'm rolling with Derrick Lewis with the upset. Derrick Lewis will get, will find his one shot. He'll rock DC, put DC out, and then Derrick Lewis will go on to fight Stipe Miocic next. And that'll be the fight we see next. And then we'll see DC crying about fighting that light heavyweight against the winner of John Jones, Alexander Gustafson fight. Waiting on my man Keys to get back with us. And like I've been saying all night, my underrated fighter tonight will be Shamon Moraes.
You can hear me?
Versus Julio Arce. I really don't know why. I think I'm picking that fight because the way they were hyping it up on the weigh-in show yesterday. So that's where I'm at with it. So just wait on my man Keys to come back to make his prediction. I don't know if you can still hear me, but, hey, I'm still rocking with you. So, all those people that are going out tonight, if you're going out to watch the fight, be safe, be responsible, you know, look out for each other. I'm going out and watch the fight with a couple friends tonight.
Yo, Lee, you hear me, bro?
You know, have a good time, you know. And that's about it. Tomorrow, looking forward to football Sunday. Like every Sunday, but I think I might have something to do tomorrow. But, you know, tomorrow's not here yet. So, just got to live for the day.
Lee, you can hear me?
Yeah. I can hear you now, bro. What's up?
Yeah, I don't know what happened right there. This randomly shut me out the show lately. I don't know what's going on. I got a call back and whole mess. But, yeah, anyways. As long as everybody can hear me, I want to make my prediction before I get mysteriously cut off again. So, yeah, I'm rooting for Derrick Lewis. I hope he can do it. That'd be nice to see that. I think if he did win, it would put a lot more – there'd be a lot more interesting fights to make after that. And plus, I'd like to see him as the champion. I mean, I personally don't want to see – DC versus Brock Lesnar. I'm not interested in that fight at all. Don't move my needle at all. So, really, if DC winning doesn't make any interesting fights at heavyweight for me. Derrick Lewis winning does because, I mean, he could always rematch Francis Ngannou and they can actually slug it out like we wanted to see. You know, I know he'll give Stipe a rematch. I'd like to see them slug it out like I wanted to see. He could always fight Curtis Blaydes. I wouldn't mind him seeing Curtis Blaydes. That'd be a good fight, too. He could always possibly rematch Mark Hunt. You know, if Mark Hunt wins a couple of fights, possibly get that a loss back from Mark Hunt. So there's a lot of fights that you could see for Derrick Lewis there if he were to win the belt. And then plus you get, like Lee said, it's create a couple of matches at 205. You'd be able to see Cormier go down and, you know, the trifecta can face off. You got Gustafson, Jones, and Cormier can face off, you know, a couple of rematches there or whatever, so. Yeah, there'd be, you know, there's a couple of different paths they could take. I'm hoping Derrick Lewis can do it, but I did pick DC in my DraftKings lineup in the interest of my points. And just taking the most likelihood of what I think will realistically happen. You know, I can't always go with my heart. You know, sometimes I go with my heart and I'm right. Sometimes I go with my heart and I'm dead wrong. You know, I've seen both sides of the coin and I know how it feels. So it's tough. Sometimes you want guys to win and they get dominated. Sometimes you want guys to win, and they do win. So it's tough.
Well, it's hard predictions, you know. So, you know, it is what it is, you know. In this business that we're in, and I think he's in, you know, as far as, like, talking about fights and, you know, it's part of the business is we have to make predictions. And it's kind of hard because sometimes, you know, you, like for me, I'm picking Derrick Lewis because of my disdain for DC, even though I know DC is the better fighter. But we'll see what happens. it probably don't make any sense, but it makes sense to me. But like I said, I'm hoping all the fighters make it through healthy and safe tonight. You know, they put on good shows for their fans and for the UFC. And me and my man Keys will be back probably Monday or Tuesday to do a review show. And then probably talk about UFC. What we got next, man? 231? Oh, we got the Denver fight night next weekend.
Yeah, you're watching. You're going to see Yair Rodriguez fight Korean Zombie in the main event, you know, next week.
Man, such a
Lee's going to the fights. You know, UFC Denver is next week, so Lee's going to the fights, everybody. You know, I'm sad that you won't see your boy Frankie Edgar in the main event, though. I'm sad about that.
I'm sad about that, too, because, you know, man, that was like my main thing for this card was I really want to see Frankie Edgar fight. You know, I'd have seen John Jones fight. I'd have seen Cowboy Cerrone fight. You know, I've seen a lot of guys fight that I like, and I really, really like Frankie. I was looking forward to his fight. I seen Aljamain Sterling fight. You know, he fought out here. So, kind of disappointed. But at the same time, you know, I ain't heard that UFC come to your town. So, you know, I go see him whenever I can.
And I want to ask you, too, what's the chance of you going to the John Jones fight in Vegas? I know you joked about, you said something about it before. I didn't know how seriously, you know, you were taking that.
Actually, man, I'm actually talking to a couple of my friends out here, and we are thinking about actually going out there, but it might be a little rough because that's like New Year's Eve weekend. So we're going to probably have to, if we do go, we're going to have to go ahead and make our plans and our flight reservations and all that stuff now because I'm quite sure that weekend is going to be crazy.
Yeah, they kind of pick a really hectic time of the year for that card. You know, I guess it comes down to, I mean, you said you've seen John Jones fight in person before, so, I mean, but I guess another time wouldn't hurt either, so I guess whatever works out.
Yeah, you know, man, I also been to see Cyborg and Nunez on that card, too. So, you know, and I heard that you could see two championship fights.
Yeah, that champion versus champion right there, that one's probably the best fight you can make in any of the women right now in the UFC. That's the, you know, most dangerous fight. Two of the most dangerous. I mean, they both got hands. That one's going to be a banger. I don't even know about that. But,
yeah, so, you know, man, it's all about, you know, getting out. Like I tell people, like I told you, I was like, you know, you get a chance to go see a fight, man, go see it live. It's kind of different without the commentary. But at the same time, it's an event. So go take it out.
If you get the chance and everything works out, you can get the tickets and, you know, everything works out for you for that weekend, I would encourage you to go see John Jones because, you know, that's your boy. So why not?
Yeah, that's what I do, man.
Go out and have that, you know, get to see that rematch. And, but yeah, anyways, you know, this was a good show. We got to get our predictions off. We made our picks. You know, everybody pray for me. Pray for me going 6-0 on my DraftKings lineup. You know, we appreciate everybody for listening, all our listeners. Lee, have a good rest of your night. Everybody have a good rest of your night.
All right, man, you too.
And that's it. Lee and Keys over and out.
Twitter.
Yeah, follow us on Twitter.
Peace. Everybody be good, man. Everybody be safe. Take care of each other. Talk to you later. Peace.
Yeah, be good and enjoy the fights over and out, Lee and Keys.